And so today is going to be extremely like just a conversation because my heart has been broken over a few things that I've seen going on online. And it's just confirming the fact that we are talking about exactly what we should be talking about in this moment. Because God is calling us to maturity. Say maturity. And maturity comes from these times with the Lord all together. Too many people have said, well, I don't need to go to the fellowships anymore because everything is streaming and I don't want to deal with those people because church folks are trip. Yeah, church folks can be a trip. But that's why we're all here being perfected. But that isolation causes a person to get in error. Because we are, one, designed for community, but then, two, we are designed to operate together as a body. And when a person isolates themselves, it's just like watching a Nat Geo channel. You see the one goat by himself or the one animal by himself, what happens? The hyenas and the lions, they get them. God has called us to travel together. And so it's super important because here's the things that I've been seeing. And I'm not going to call out people's name. I've matured. I mean, I used to. I'm 365 days ago. I would have been like, look, this person said this and don't do it. And they are. Because there's this grace on me to dismantle foolishness in terms of things that have been taught wrongly to the body of Christ, especially in terms of supernatural nature. So I would call out a thing, and I used to call out the person too. But I'm growing and maturing to the point where I want to dismantle the teaching, but I want to win the soul. So yesterday, I saw something online where there was this particular prophet who was casting a demon out of somebody. And he did what some prophets typically do, start talking to the demon. Now, I have various views on that, you know, because Jesus didn't do a lot of talking to demons because he permitted them not to speak. That's what it says. But also, he did talk to one when he casted out the legion. So people are saying, don't talk to the demon. And other people are saying, well, you can talk to the demon. And now that's causing confusion over something that really don't matter. In the body of Christ, we cannot major in the minors. We can't argue over should this, should we do that, should we do that, should we do that. And then you get people on various platforms, this is my reaction to him casting out the demon. He shouldn't have been talking, because theologically. And so that's all confusion and smokescreen that keeps people from walking in the truth of what God has for us. So one person, and I'm not the kind of person that argues online. That ain't what I'm online for. And I don't comment on everything people comment on, even on my own stuff. People comment on stuff, and I don't always comment back. So, but this particular time, someone commented saying, you're not supposed to talk to the demon, to that prophet. So he responded, and because he has a large platform, a whole bunch of people start responding, like boom, 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 boom. So I did respond. And I said, you know, I don't want you to feel attacked because I want to win the soul. And I said, I understand what you're saying, but you have to recognize that there are times it's okay depending on the intention of what God is doing in that moment. Because sometimes when someone is speaking to the demon before they cast it out, is for the persons who are there listening to build their faith and to expose the plan of the enemy and to encourage them in their authority that they have. And so I explained that. And then I said, I would love to talk to you offline. I'm going to send you a DM. Connect with me. Let's get on a video call and let's chat, because I want to get to know you and hear your perspective. So the person responded, sounds good, but I don't want to talk about this. And then start quoting about the the Ethiopian Bible being the original translation and the King James Bible not being valid because King James was British. So, and the Ethiopian Bible was published before the King James. So I responded, I respect that you don't want to talk about this, and we don't have to. And I said, however, the fact that you think people are still adding to Scripture today is error, and I'm praying for you. And I left it like that. Because here's the thing. People are getting on platforms, saying stuff, believing this of God, saying this from God, but it's in error. And people are believing it because they don't know how to discern the voice of God, even when it comes from someone who has a platform. Wednesday, I talked about we have to discern source. Say source. And sometimes someone with a platform may speak, but we have to discern is that what they are speaking sourced or originating from God. Even if part of what they're saying is true, because remember in the book of Acts, the damsel had a spirit of divination, which is a python spirit, who spoke something that was true following Paul and the apostles, saying, these men have come to teach us the way of salvation, which was true. Just because the spirit of the enemy is a lying spirit doesn't mean it lies all the time. A lying spirit would not lie all the time. They may say something true or take a truth and then to get you to follow or believe them, then start speaking a lie. It's like you know, when we were kids, we played this game, two truths and a lie, and you had to tell which one was the lie. That's what the enemy does. So when she talked about this Ethiopian Bible, yes, and I'm gonna just make this clear for people who are watching online now, because I'm like, I might have to do what I call a dismantling stream for that, because I love doing those. The Ethiopian Bible was published before the King James. That's a fact. But that doesn't mean it's accurate. Being published before doesn't mean accuracy. And just because something is ancient and ancient writings that was found by archaeologists doesn't mean that what they wrote came from God. Because we can find ancient writings in Egypt in the pyramids, but we know they're not writing anything accurate about God. There are ancient writings all over Europe because of the Greek conquest and the Roman Empire. Doesn't mean what they wrote was accurate about God. So a lot of times people, especially people, start embracing culture, and then they mistakenly embrace the mistakes of culture. I'll give you another example. So a friend of mine sent me a message and said, told me how her heart was grieved because of this clip that was on social media. Again, somebody with a platform. This gentleman graduated with honors from a historically black university, and looks like he has a lot of accomplishments. So this person, he was speaking at a church, at a worship fellowship, and he was very passionate, very charismatic, and people were shouting, and the way their fellowship was set up, they had, you know, the seats in back of them, and the person behind him was the pastor, was, you know, doing the church shiver. Every time you say something, you know how they do, they do the, you know. But the problem is, he was saying that if you don't feel like doing something in relation to your purpose and destiny, when you don't have the strength to go on, and he's talking, you know, passionate, he said, call on the ancestors. He said, the ancestors serve as an intermediary between you and God. And the pastor was like, and people were shouting, hallelujah. And this is a Christian church. And I'm like, the foolishness. And then the person messaged me, well, she messaged a group of us. Then she messaged me privately and said, I looked at how many people, because we had some correspondence, because my heart broke for that congregation that was receiving that information as if it was from God, and it wasn't. It had what I call unholy mixing. And my heart broke for that pastor who could not guard his people from that foolishness. Because that would have been the time I would have been like, excuse me, bruh, no. You don't want to embarrass nobody, but some stuff is too critical. I grew up calling on the ancestors. And when God delivered me, he showed me, them wasn't your ancestors, Ma. So my heart broke for them because they didn't know how to discern the voice of God, even when a contrary voice was coming from a platform in a worship fellowship. Yeah. And then the other heartbreaking thing is my friend said, I looked at who liked that video. She was like, some of the people who are aligned with me, like you guys, you put a mad face on it, which I did. I was a little petty with that one. I put a mad face on it. But she said, my pastor loved the video. So this is why we have to discern God's voice. No matter who is speaking, where they're speaking from, the size of their ministry, the size of their business, the size of their platform, doesn't matter how many social media followings they have or how many endorsement deals, we gotta know, is God talking through this person or is that their own flesh, soul, or demon spirit? Because so many people follow celebrities, and celebrities are saying they're following spirit guides. One celebrity in particular who I'm praying for, I'm not going to say her name, she recently came out and said she doesn't believe in the psychic phenomenon because that was a character she played on the Disney Channel. But she does believe in supernatural things and certain phenomena. She said if somebody tried to give her a reading, she wouldn't believe it, but she believes in other things. So she believes in some of it, but not all of it. And then she says she follows a spirit guide. Now, the only guide that we follow as believers is Holy Spirit. There is no such thing as a spirit guide for the believer. But because she said that, and she has popularity, she has stature, she's successful in the entertainment industry, some people follow that and be like, oh, it must be okay. God has called us to be successful in the world. Y'all know that, right? In every sphere of influence, he's called us to be successful, to have wealth, to have money. But the enemy will also give people money in a platform to be an echo for his voice. So we can't let earthly success be the measure and think that they are following God. And we even have to filter people who are successful but are maybe baby Christians. Because maturity in the Lord is not denoted by age or natural success. because there are some folks who are very successful in the business arena who are coming to the Lord, so you don't judge them or anything like that. You want to nurture them. And you may go to them to learn a particular business practice, and they cussing, and then folks think, oh, it's okay to cuss as a Christian. Profanity is the language of hell. Period. I got a teaching online somewhere about that. I taught 30 minutes about that by itself. So we have to be careful what we hear. Because what we hear and give heed to impacts us. So really quick, let's turn to Numbers chapter 13. I wanted to share that and really set the stage for what we're talking about as to why we're talking about what we're talking about. Because not only is it essential for us to hear and recognize and discern God's voice, not just in prayer moments, but all the time. See, it's easy to discern God's voice when you're in a prayer moment, when you're sitting and soaking in prayer, or when you're in a gathering like this and everybody's worshiping, and you're like, oh, Jesus, and he puts something in your spirit. But what about when you're in the world and there's noise everywhere, and the enemy's marketing campaign is super fierce? We have to be able to discern the voice of God. So in Exodus 13, which is where we're going to spend most of our time, Numbers 13. Thank you, Janice. She was like, you said Numbers. Thank you. Keep me on track. Because I'm looking at my notes and I have something I'm going to quote from Exodus. In Numbers 13, we all know the incident with the 12 spies. But here's the thing. We know that 10 of them brought back what the Bible says as an evil report. The issue and the perspective we're going to look at it from is the fact that the people didn't discern those 10 of their leaders, because even though it said 12 spies, they were leaders. That the leader of their particular tribe was not speaking the voice of God. And if they would have discerned that, they would have went with Joshua and Caleb, and they could have entered into the promised land, and only 10 folk wouldn't have been able to enter versus a whole generation. Because let me read you something in Exodus 23 that I thought was very interesting that plays into the Numbers 13 incident. In Exodus 23, verse 20, this is what God said to them, this same generation. He said, behold, I'm going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Be on your guard before him and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious towards him. For he will not pardon your transgression, since my name is in him. But if you truly obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. So he said, obey the voice of the angel that I'm sending to bring you into your promise. So they already had supernatural help to go into their promised land, and that angel would give them directions that they were to follow. But notice the angel's direction would be sourced or come from God. Y'all see that? Because he said that if you obey his voice and do all that I say, so God is saying, do all that I say, which should be echoed through the voice of the angel. That's how it's supposed to be with people on platforms. They're supposed to echo what God is saying. So God already told them they were going into the land, and that there were, he said, In verse 23, he says, my angel will bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I will completely destroy them. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion all the people among whom you come, and I will make your enemies turn their backs to you, meaning they're going to flee. He said, I will send hornets ahead of you so that they will drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites before you. So God already told them there were people in the land. He told them an angel was going to supernaturally drive them out, that he was going to cause those nations to flee from them. And he even said, I'm going to send hornets. Now, that was like a flashback, because last week, some of y'all might not know, because last week I texted some of the leaders a picture. There was a hornet's nest on the property, and that thing was the size of a basketball. And you would have thought I was watching a movie, because they had this little opening like a spout, and they were like zooming in, and then they were zooming out. I was like, them things are getting deployed. They was like zoom, 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 and then they were flying up, and it was high up. And so it was like they would fly up and go across the roof and go somewhere, and then they just come in. I was like, what in the world? What in the Jurassic Park is this? I'm here with the dude, and he got this long stick, and we like, okay, we're going to open this window, and I'm going to spray it with this thing, but I got to get it all the way into the hornet's nest. And I'm like, look, because you know the way the windows open, they open from top and bottom. I was like, look, let's get a ladder. We're going to put some plastic up right here. We're going to put some plastic right here where you can stick that thing through the hole. So I'm sitting here, and they were like, yeah, you know, hornets will get real aggressive. And he said they will attack you butt first to sting you. They'd like get all their speed. And I'm sitting here like, well, Jesus, you said you were going to send hornets? That was enough to drive people out. Because they didn't have the technology we had, so they couldn't come. Like, one came, the dude was like, and then, you know, the other guy was with him talking about, kill it, kill it. They didn't have spray like we have. So God already told them what was going to happen. But then when you get to Numbers 13, Moses sends them out into the land to get information. Say information. There's nothing wrong with getting information, but the problem is, do we allow that information to be louder than the voice of the Lord? What is God saying in light of this information? Because Moses sent them out, and I'm going to read to you verse 18 because it's very interesting, because they almost did what they were supposed to, but then you could see what they added some other stuff that they weren't supposed to. So in Numbers 13, verse 18, now, because God told Moses to send out the spies in the first place. Because God never wants us to step into something blind. There's a difference between faith and presumption. And sometimes people step into things without getting information, calling it faith, but that's presumption. But unbelief is when a person gets information and they let that information be the driver of their decision versus the voice of God. So as believers, we get the information and then we allow Holy Spirit to speak to us about that information so we can determine how we're supposed to move forward. So in Numbers 13 and 18, it says, see what the land is like, whether the people who live in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many. How is the land in which they live? Is it good or bad? How are the cities in which they live? Are they like open camps or with fortifications? How is the land? Is it fat or lean? Are there trees in it or not? Make an effort then to get some of the fruit of the land, because it was the time of the first ripe grapes. So he tells them to go basically assess it, so they can know what they're getting into, because they've never seen this land before. All they know is what God spoke to them about it. But the Lord has given them opportunity to put their eyes on the promise. And so they were there 40 days, Now, in verse 27, it says this. It says, thus they told him, because they came back to Moses and Aaron and to the people. It says, thus they told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So they confirmed the word. They saw physical confirmation of the word. Say confirmation. And then they said, nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong. Now, in verse 18, Moses told them to see if the people were strong. So they said, yep, the people are strong. Say information. So they brought back that information. It says the cities are fortified and very large. Remember in verse, 19, they needed to know if the cities were fortified because they needed to know what they were dealing with, right? Then it says, we saw the descendants of Anak. Amalek is living in the land of Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country. And the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. So after they said that, and it must have been something with the way they said it, because now the people are riled up. People are having an emotional response because they've never seen the land. They're trusting what their leaders are saying, because remember the 12 spies were leaders from each tribe. They confirmed something that God had spoken. They're bringing back the report, but now the manner in which they are speaking is not one of faith. And so the people are riled up, and it says Caleb quieted the people. So for him to quiet somebody, that means they had to be loud and riled up, right? And it says before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession, for we shall surely overcome it. Now, Caleb is recognizing, we saw these things, we were there 40 days, and I know what the Lord has said, so let's go handle business. Let's go take it. We can overcome it, because remember, the Lord said he's going to send an angel before us. And then he had history of how God delivered them from Egypt. So he was like, let's go do it. It says, but, verse 31, says, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong. Now, what happened right there? They spoke something out of a place of unbelief to the people, and the people were not able to discern it. Because they couldn't discern, wait a minute, what they're saying is not from God. That's their emotions getting the best of them in this moment. Because they couldn't discern it, they were like, no, we can't go in. Now, Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16. It says this, Hebrews 3 and 16. It says, for who provoked him when they heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness, and to whom he did swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? Their lack of discernment of 10 people from a leadership position saying that they couldn't do a thing that God had already told them they could caused them to be in disobedience. Because they had two leaders saying, let's do it. This doesn't record Moses and Aaron saying nothing. Moses probably should have spoke up and be like, look, y'all out of order. But we see 10 out of 12 leaders spoke a thing, not even their primary leader. They were leaders with delegated authority. Caused them to get on disobedience, and God said they won't enter my rest. Their failure to discern the voice of the Lord was not speaking through them, through those leaders at that time, caused them to miss entering into the promise and to die in the wilderness, seeing the promise but never apprehending it. And because Joshua and Caleb were connected to them, their promise got delayed 40 years while they were waiting on a generation of folks to die. So imagine the grace that had to be on them to wait and to be patient and not be mad at them folks for their 40-year delay that they just caused them. Because they're seeing the land but can't go in until these folks die. And you know somebody's probably tempted. Be like, look, Jesus, can I help you out? Let me slice some necks and speed this thing up. So it is essential to the apprehension of purpose and destiny that we recognize when God is speaking and when he's not. Who he's speaking to and who he ain't. Because everybody on YouTube got a word. Everybody on social media got a word. Everybody's going to come say, well, I hear the Lord saying. But it takes you having developed that time with God and that discipline to hear his voice to know when somebody's coming with foolishness. People don't even come to me with fake words no more because I'm like real quick to discern it. I'd be like, nope. That ain't Jesus. I love you, but that ain't Jesus. He ain't telling you that. You prophesying from your own soul. And even when it sounds like something I want to hear. Because sometimes these fake words come and they may be saying what you want to hear, but you got to recognize just because I want to hear it don't mean God is saying it. That's how folks get tripped up, trying to lay hands on other people's houses, claim other people's spouses, and all of that stuff. Or that's how people leave fellowships and start their own thing because they said, the Lord called me the pastor. Because that's what they wanted to hear. And I'm like, that ain't what God was saying at this moment. I'm going to stop there because my timer went and did go off. So it's important, now more than ever, to know the voice of God for ourselves. Now, this is not for us to get to the place where we're suspicious of everybody and don't listen to nobody. We're not saying go to that extreme. But we're saying there has to be this wisdom that we use to recognize God's voice, especially in the marketplace, in these other areas of influence, where people are speaking, and we don't know if what they're saying is true or not. And people are fact-checking, but we don't know if the fact-checkers are doing what's true or not. Because the fact-checkers be like, that's false, but it be true. You know what I'm saying? So that's why we got to hear God's voice, because everybody is saying something. Now AI is saying something. Now people are searching the right, if you're good at asking questions, ChatGPT would tell you some stuff. And they're sounding very intelligent and wise, but is it God? And even the discussions that the stories I told you earlier about people thinking, you know, the King James was tainted or whatever, or why trust the King James? Because it was translated from the original Greek and Hebrew. And then people saying King James only. Well, the New American Standard was translated from the original Greek and Hebrew. Hush up. So that's why we have to study. Because when you buy a Bible and read the introduction of where it came from, it tells you who did what. And so we have to know, because it's important. We are the ones who are going to stand and demonstrate God's kingdom, because this is our time to arise and to not be hidden and to be in places of leadership in these spheres of influence and to really be the ones who echo and release the voice of God. Amen.